John, please turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. What a great crowd. God bless you for coming this way. This is tremendous. And we appreciate all those who are visiting with us. It's good to see a lot of Bert and Phyllis Martin's family. God bless you. It's great to see all of you here. That's a blessing. I realize you all came to see me and hear my beautiful voice and listen to me preach, and sure, yes. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We've been studying through the book of 1 Timothy. We've come to chapter 2, verse 3. Well, the Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." If you're in a habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the last phrase in verse number 5. It's the phrase, "the man Christ Jesus." The man Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you today. We thank you for those who are visiting with us. Thank you for those who are going to follow you in believer's baptism at the conclusion of the service. Thank you for those who are here to see those to be baptized. Thank you for those who are regulars. Lord, I thank you for this great crowd. Help me to preach this with clarity and compassion and understanding. I beg of you, may thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to chapter 2, we've already considered the important issue of prayer in verses 1 through 8. But in the middle of these verses, we see the most important and key theme of the entire Word of God. As a matter of fact, we cannot preach on anyone or anything more important than the man, Christ Jesus. Some 2,000 years ago, the Virgin Mary gave birth to God's only begotten Son and called His name Jesus in Matthew 1, 18 to 25. What a thought that Christ Jesus became a man without ceasing to be God. Now notice in verse number 3 that the Bible identifies God as our Savior. But may I remind you that elsewhere in Scripture there is only one Savior. In Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In other words, in this verse we see that Jehovah God, the God of eternity, is the only Savior. Yet in 2 Timothy 1:10, Titus 2:13, 2 Peter 1:1 and 11, 2 Peter 2 verse 20, 2 Peter 3 verse 8, Jesus Christ is identified as our Savior. So let me say loud and clear that Jesus Christ was not just a good man, but Jesus Christ is the God of gods. The Bible says in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." John 1:48, Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." The man Christ Jesus is also the God of eternity. You know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament you have Jehovah God that is shown by the all capital letters of the word Lord. Anytime you see the word Lord in the Old Testament and it's all uppercase L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God. But it's interesting that what Jehovah God is identified in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is identified as the same in the New Testament. For instance, in Isaiah 8:13-15, Jehovah is the stone of stumbling. Yet in 1 Peter 2:6-8, Jesus Christ is the stone of stumbling. In Isaiah 44:24, Jehovah God is the creator. Yet in Colossians 1:16, we see Jesus Christ is the creator. In Isaiah 43:11, Jehovah God is the only Savior. Yet in 2 Timothy 1:10, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. In Psalm 95:3, Jehovah God is King of Kings. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 14 and 15, Jesus Christ is identified as King of Kings. In Isaiah 44:6, Jehovah God is known as Alpha and Omega. Yet in Revelation
Revelation 1, 7 to 18, Jesus Christ's name is, he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. In Isaiah 40, 10 and 11, Jehovah God is known as the Good Shepherd. Yet in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. In Isaiah 45, 23, every knee will bow to Jehovah God. Yet in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, it says every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 24, 23, we see Jehovah God is reigning on high. Yet in Matthew 25, 31 and 32, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is reigning on high. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, chapter 48, verse 11, we see that Jehovah God will share his glory with nobody else. Yet in John chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus Christ has that glory. And what I'm telling you today is that this man, Christ Jesus, is God in human flesh. Somebody say amen right there. Now, there's three things about the man Christ Jesus I want you to notice with me quickly today. Now, you understand that any time I say quickly, I'm lying to you. But I will say quickly just to make yourself feel better about it. Number one, the first major thing I notice about the man Christ Jesus is we notice his will in verse number four. Look at it. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, make no mistakes about it this morning. It is the will of God for all men to be saved. There's a movement going on today known as hyper-Calvinism. What this teaching, this is a teaching where they try to say that God has chosen some to eternal life and chosen others to eternal death. In other words, they try to teach you that only the elect can be saved and all others do not even have a chance to be saved. In other words, this teaching teaches you that God has chosen some people to go to hell. He doesn't care if they want to be saved or not. Are you listening to me? That's heresy. And I'm going to tell you something, that teaching will not be tolerated at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We are not Calvinists, we are Biblicists. We believe and teach that Jesus Christ died for the entire human race and he wants every single solitary human to trust him and to live in eternity in heaven forever. God is not willing, listen to this, God willing in the near future now, I'm going to give you a detailed message on that issue, but right now let's just let the word of God speak for itself. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ezekiel 33:11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. The Bible goes on to say in 1 John chapter number 2 and verses 1 and 2, it says this. It says in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, get this, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, you notice in verse number 6 of our text, it says that he gave himself a ransom for all. All. It is God's will for all people. That includes you, and that includes me, to be a member of the family of God. If you're sitting here today and you say, Jody, you don't understand how bad I've been. You don't understand. Are you telling me that God loves me and he wants me in his family? Yes, he loves you. And he wants you in his family. That's his will. Second thing we notice, not only his will, but secondly, his work. We see this in verses 5 and 6 of our text. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, in these two verses, we see the work of the man, Christ Jesus. And I want to look at this work closely. As a matter of fact, I see two things about his work. Now, you understand he's doing a lot more in his work, but these are two specific things about his work that's brought out for us right here in these two verses. Number one, we notice his work of mediation. Notice verse number 5 says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This word mediator means a go-between. It means a reconciler. It carries the idea, now get this, this is beautiful. It carries the idea of two being in disagreement or at enmity with another, and yet as they are standing in disagreement, somebody else comes in between them and grabs one and grabs the other and brings them back into reconciliation. Now, listen to me just a moment. We are all naturally, I'm talking about when you were born into this world, you and I were born as children under the wrath of God. In other words, we're sinners, and sin has to be dealt with, Ephesians 2:3. Because of our sin, we were born at enmity with God, Ephesians 2:11 and 12. Because of that sin, we were separated from God in Isaiah 59:2. Get this, when you were born in this world, you were born a sinner and you're still a sinner. Because God cannot look at sin, God cannot dwell in the midst of sin, because of our sin, he and me, whatever the case may be there, all of us, we were born separated from God. Are you with me? We're at enmity with him. He is an enemy of ours when we're born because his wrath is coming upon us. But one of the works of the man Christ Jesus is when Jesus Christ stepped into this world by means of the virgin birth. Get it? He was God, yet he became man so he could grab a hold of both of us and bring us back into fellowship with one another. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Now stay with me here. Romans 5:10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now notice the one mediator in our text here is not Mary. That'll sink in just a moment. That one mediator is not the Pope. That one mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, you don't need to turn to it for time's sake, but in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He could have, but he didn't. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. You know what that means? That means he became a man. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In other words, the Lord Jesus became a man. And because he did that in his humanity, he reached down and grabbed sinful man. He grabbed us. And yet, he never ceased to be God. So he is God, the one that's been offended. And he reaches up, the only begotten Son of God, who is God, co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal, and with his hand of deity, he reaches up and grabs God the Father, and he reaches down with his hand of humanity, and he grabs sinful man, and anybody who comes to him and believes him and trusts him as their Lord and Savior, he takes the two who are at enmity with one another, who are separated from one another, and he brings them together again. And he says, now you're in the family. Now you're one of mine. I died for your sins since you've accepted me. Now the wrath of God's not on you. The grace of God is all over you, and he's going to give you something that you don't deserve. That's one of his works. And I'm going to tell you something. Job 9:33 says, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon both. But for a child of God, that's not true. Thank God that we do have a daysman. We do have the man Christ Jesus with his work of mediation. Going between God, who is angry, wrath because sin, and man who is sinful, who cannot earn salvation. His only begotten Son became the man Christ Jesus, so he could be the mediator between God and between man. That's his first work. Good night. What's his second work? Whew. You thought that was good. Hallelujah. His second work is not only the work of mediation, but secondly, the work of redemption. We see this in verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now listen to this. Before a person receives the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are, get it, sold under sin. Romans chapter 7 verse 14. Under bondage and condemnation. But the man Christ Jesus, there he is, gave himself to buy me off the slave block of sin. He has redeemed me. He has ransomed me. In other words, there's a payment that has to be paid. For instance, if somebody gets taken, I'm talking about kidnapped, every now and then that kidnapper will demand a ransom. If I get this ransom, I will deliver them back to you. Well, in the same way, the justice of God demands death for sin. Demands it. Because the wages, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Which means if you have sinned, and you have, there is a ransom that must be paid. It's death. Yet the man Christ Jesus gave himself as that ransom. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. John 14:6 says, no man cometh unto the Father, Jesus said, but by me. Romans 5:6, Christ died for the ungodly. Galatians chapter 4 verses 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Amen. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption, talking about the Lord, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Get this, we were in hopeless debt, but Jesus paid the debt for us. Luke 7:41-50. We were slaves and Jesus came to the marketplace to buy us out of bondage. Ephesians 1:7. We were condemned criminals before the judgment seat of God. Condemned, you're guilty. And yet Jesus stepped in and bore our penalty in order to set us free. In Romans 5:16. We were unclean Gentiles, get this, excluded by our defilement of sin from the presence of God in the temple. And Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice to consecrate for us a way to the throne of mercy. Ephesians 2:13-14. We were children in disgrace, far from home. But yet Jesus brought us back to the family circle. Ephesians 2:18-19. We were captives confined to the fortress of Satan. And yet Jesus broke in and he delivered us. In Colossians 2:15. See, God's holiness demands sin to be paid for, and yet God in flesh stepped in and paid it for us. I'll tell you a couple of stories here. I'm going to be honest with you. These stories have been blessing my heart ever since I found them. There's a story of an orphan boy, this was several years ago, who's living with his grandmother when their house caught on fire. This grandmother was trying to get upstairs to rescue her boy from burning to death, but as she was trying to rescue her grandson, the flames caught up with her and burned her to death. This boy is in that home now by himself, realizing that the flames are getting closer and closer to him. He begins to scream, begins to cry out for mercy. He begins to cry out for somebody to save him. And lo and behold, there was a man outside that heard this shrieking cry of this boy. And he saw an old iron pipe on the side of the building. And he realized he couldn't go through the house, so he grabbed a hold of that iron pipe that was flaming hot. And he began to crawl up that pipe, and every time he would grab the pipe, it would burn his hands. And he kept climbing up and kept climbing up and kept climbing up, until he finally reached the window of where that little boy was. And he reached in and he grabbed the boy and he put him on his back, and the boy was hanging on for dear life. And he crawled back down that flaming hot pipe got the boy to safety. Now remember, the boy's an orphan. He has no parents. His grandmother was living with him, and now she's dead. And they began to hold a court session. And in this court session, there were people that were showing up because the judge wanted to turn him over to somebody's custody who was worthy to have him. Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? And there were people there, and they were pleading their case. This is why I need him. This is why I ought to have him. And all of a sudden, there was a stranger that walked in with his hands in his pockets. And he walked down that courtroom aisle, and he went down, and all of a sudden, he took his hands out of his pockets, and he showed the court his hands. And there were scars all over him. And when that boy saw him, he recognized him. He said, "So God saved me." And he went up and he jumped in that man's arms and held him by the neck and held on for dear life. And that man said, "The reason you need to give him to me is because of the scars that I bear for saving his life." And I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he had spikes driven in his hands and driven in his feet. And when we get to the portals of glory, even though the devil says, "He's mine, he's mine, he's mine," but yet Jesus Christ goes to his heavenly Father who demands a penalty. He demands death. And God the Son steps in and he shows his Father, "Here it is. This is why they're mine." And if you trust Christ as your Savior, if you trust him, you're his. And God the Father has been appeased. Isn't that great? There's a boy one time. This goes right along with it. I'm just trying to show you some of this. The man Christ, his work. His work of mediation, his work of redemption, buying you back. There's this boy one time. He made a boat. And this boy, this boat was beautiful. And he carefully placed it in the water and slowly let out the string. He had it tied to a string because, you know, he didn't want to lose it. And the boat was sailing smoothly, and then all of a sudden, there was a strong current that caught the boat, began to pull it away from the boy. So he grabbed the string and tried to pull it back to safety, but as he was struggling against it, the string snapped, and it sent the boat sailing down the stream. This boy's heart was broken, so he got up and he ran after it. He was trying to keep it in his view, and he's looking at it, and he tried to reach out and get it, but he just couldn't reach it. And lo and behold, he looked for it all afternoon until finally he said, "There's no hope." He lost his boat. Brokenhearted, he went home. Not long after that, I believe it was the week following, he was walking home from school, and he went by a shop. And he noticed a boat sitting in the window. And it looked familiar to him. It looked like his boat. But it couldn't be, because his boat was taken away. But what he didn't know is somebody found it and took it to that shop. And he went in to look at that boat, and lo and behold, he examined and said, "This is my, I made this boat. This is the boat I lost." So he went up to the clerk and he said, "This is my boat. I made it." The clerk said, "I'm sorry, but now it's for sale. You have to buy it if you want it now." Whew, I'm about to get excited right here. He said, "It costs a dollar. That's it." So he went home and started mustering up all of his change and found just enough, just a dollar. And he went back and he paid for that boat. And the clerk gave him the boat, said, "Now it's yours." And you ought to hear what that boy was saying on his way home. He got that boat and he was hugging it, and he made this statement, don't miss it. He said, "Now you're twice mine." He said, "First I made you, now I bought you, and you're mine twice." Isn't that a blessing? Good night. The reason you're here today is because the man Christ Jesus created you. But yet because of your sin, you've been separated from him. You've been drawn away from him, and his heart is broken. And God the Father steps in and says, "There's a ransom that has to be paid. Whether they pay it or whether my son pays it, I will send my son, my only son. He'll pay for the world, but I'm going to make it to where they have to accept his ransom." And if you don't accept his ransom, it's still in play. God demands a ransom. And that's why people die and split hell wide open. I don't say that with gladness in my heart. Some people say God is love. He'd never send a person to hell. Are you listening? He doesn't send one person to hell, not one. They send themselves. The God of love is the one who sent his son to die so you wouldn't have to go there. But if you reject him, he's also a God of justice and he demands a ransom. But yet when you come to Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, he grabs you and he pulls you to his chest and he says, now you're twice mine. I created you. Now I bought you. That's his work. That's his work. Praise God. That's his work. Third thing I want you to see. By the way, there's a little chorus. Maybe you've heard it. It goes, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound, Christ Jesus paid a debt I could never pay. Aren't you glad he paid that debt? I know my voice is beautiful. I need to take it on the road. But I think you're stuck with me a while. Well, looking at the man Christ Jesus, who is he? We notice his will. He wants everybody to be saved. We notice his work. He's made it possible for everybody to be saved. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. There's no way that we can go into the presence of God the Father and say, look at me, take me. No, one sin is enough for God to say, no, it must be punished. But Jesus Christ stepped in between us and grabbed me with one hand and grabbed his Father with the other hand and brought us together. We see his work of redemption paying for us. And there's a third thing found in verses 6 and 7, and that is his witness. We notice his will, his work, and his witness. Look at verse 6. Of our text. Well, the Bible says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, notice what Paul said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now, in a nutshell, what we see here is we see the apostle Paul testifying to the fact that what he just dealt with, the matter of the gospel being for all men, the matter of God not willing that any should perish, the man Christ Jesus bringing us back into right standing with God by paying the ransom for with his own precious blood. All these things he just dealt with, he said, God has appointed me a witness of these things. I am to witness to these facts that it works because I'm in the family. He's a witness to share it everywhere he went. In other words, spreading the good news that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Thank God Jesus saves. And in the same way, now listen to me please, I'm just about through. In the same way, if you have received the man Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have done that, you too have been ordained a witness to the truth that Jesus saves. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the othermost part of the earth. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a privilege to be a witness of the truth of the gospel, spreading the good news about Jesus Christ. I give you this story and I'm coming to a close. That does not mean you're coming to a close. Please don't close your Bible. Just pay close attention. I had a privilege this week. Miss Julie Ford called me and said that there's a man in the Bluntville jail who is interested in salvation. He's locked up. God's speaking to him. I went there this week. Got there Friday. They called him. You know, it was up to him. I mean, he could turn it down if he wanted to, you understand. But he came. And they let me into this little holding area where it's like a stool here, a stool on the other side, and that thick glass in between us and the phone on the wall. You know what I'm talking about. And we began to talk to him. He looked a little rough. But I began to share with him how Jesus Christ loves him. You know, I'm glad I can share that with anybody, anywhere, and it's the truth. And lo and behold, I noticed him starting to pick at his eyes. And I think he was trying to make me think he had something in his eye, but I noticed he was tearing up is what he was doing. He began to wipe his eyes like this on the other side of that thick glass, just wiping his eyes. Now I got down to the last point and I said, and I called his name and I said, I don't want you to have any pressure. I said, this is between you and the Lord. Based on what you just heard, where would you go if you died? He got on the phone and he said, I believe I'd go to hell. I said, is that what you want? He said, no. I said, would you be willing to bow your head? And I told him, I said, see, God's over here with me, but he's also on that side with you. We may be separated by glass, but God's not separated by anything. And as I was on the phone, he bowed his head, closed his eyes, and he accepted the mediation and the redemption of Jesus Christ. Supposed to get out tomorrow, I hope. God willing, he'll be in our services next Sunday if he gets out. Who is he? None of your business right now. Because I'm afraid you might pass judgment on him. Aren't you glad God doesn't pass judgment on us? Say, why are you telling me that? Because I want you to know it works. And what a privilege it is that God, after he's done so much for me, now I'm on this side in right standing with God the Father. I'm in the family now. And yet he says, now I want to bless you a little bit more. I want you to take what you know to be true and I want you to tell others about it. You doing that? I'm afraid what they might do to me. You already know what God's going to do if they don't trust Christ. You already know what their sin's going to do to them if they don't get saved. So why are we worried about what they might think or what they might say about us? Amen. The man Christ Jesus, three things. His will, his work, and his witness. And may the Lord drive this on our heart. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. We thank you for who you are. This is a great crowd today. And Father, I pray that you'll deal with every single solitary human being. If somebody's lost, may today be the glorious day when they say yes to you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly whenever they get prepared. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in the other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Talking about the name of Jesus. There's two kinds of people listening to me right now. There are those who have received the gift of everlasting life, received the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, and there are those who have not done that. That's the only two kind of people that are listening to me. Those who are in the family of God and those who are still at enmity with God because you've never trusted Christ. If you're sitting there today and you say, Jody, I know without a shadow of a doubt if I drop dead or if the Lord Jesus came back right now, I know that I will go to heaven. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I'm not relying on my good works, anything else. I am trusting the redemption and the mediation of Jesus Christ. I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. No doubt in my mind. If and only if you can say that. I'm not gonna embarrass anybody. If you can say that with God watching you, would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I know that I've been saved. I know I have. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. You can put your hands down. If you could not raise your hand to that, I want to say thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. If you're sitting there right now and say, Jody, I could not in honesty raise my hand to that question. Now I want you to know if you respond to this, I am not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need to know how to proceed with the invitation. If you say, Jody, I could not in all honesty raise my hand to that question. I do not know for sure that heaven's my home. I don't know that. Would you be an honest person again? And would you raise your hand in the air right now? Put it right back down. God bless you. And you, thank you. Somebody else, you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm just not sure. Or maybe you know for sure that heaven is not your home. Along with these, you say, Jody, this is me. I do not have that assurance in my heart that heaven is my home. I don't have that. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand along with these? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. If you're a Christian and you know it, you say, Jody, I know I'm a Christian. But you realize that God is speaking to you in the matter of witnessing, in the matter of telling people about the Lord. You say, Jody, I am a witness of these things. That means you know it to be true. But you say, I'm convicted because I'm doing such a poor job in telling the good news to other people. Anybody like that, you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to recommit myself to spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Is that you? If that's you, would you raise your hand all over this auditorium? Yes, yes. That's several hands. If you raise your hand to that, I'd like you to do me a favor. I'd like you to look this way. Just those who just raised your hand for that question. Now, listen to me just a moment. We have folks who do not know for sure that heaven's their home. So when we respond in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond first. Because it might be that all they're waiting on is for somebody to go first. You understand what I'm saying? And if they see you come, it helps them to come. I hope you'll do it. I want you to bow your head one more time. If you raise your hand for salvation saying, Jody, I don't have that assurance, I want you to listen to me closely. We have ladies up here that deal with ladies. We have men up here that deal with men. And we would love to take an opportunity to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do not want any pressure. We do not want to try to make you feel just so tall if you don't come. This is simply, you know what you need to do. And I encourage you, do what I have done and do what many, many others have done and accept this ransom that Jesus Christ has paid and come into the right standing with God the Father. I hope you'll do it and I hope you'll come. As soon as we extend the invitation, I hope you'll come. Let us take a Bible. Bring somebody with you that's sitting beside you. Whatever it is, bring them with you. May the Lord help you to do it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking but myself and Brother Gary. Father, take it and use it in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place right now? As he sings, would you leave your place right now, please?
Just
if you're not sure that heaven's your home, right now is your opportunity. Why don't you come? Why don't you come now? Let us take a Bible. Let us share with you. You can know the Lord as your Savior. Why don't you just step out? Let us take a Bible. Share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ.
O Lamb of God, I come.
They're playing through. I want to give some instructions here. If you raise your hand just not sure that heaven is your home, and you would be comfortable doing this. Now again, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that. If you're here and you say, Jody, I'm not sure. I just raised my hand a few minutes ago. I'm not sure. I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you wouldn't mind doing this, I'd like you to lift your eyes and look at me, please. If you wouldn't mind doing that. If you'd look right up here at me. May the Lord help you. May God help you with this. May God help you with this. Amen. May the Lord help you. If anybody else is in our midst not sure about heaven, may you make that decision now. May God help you. If you're being baptized today, I'd like you to leave your place and take your stuff with you and make your way to the baptismal rooms. Men to my left, your right. Ladies to my right, your left. If you're being baptized today, I'd like you to make your way. May the Lord help you with this. Amen. Isn't this great? This is great. May the Lord help you. People are being dealt with. Brother Gary, I'm going to turn the invitation over to you. If you feel led to extend it, you do that.
No. I'll just miss it up there.
still dealing with these, would you come? God has spoken to your heart. There were others that raised their hand for salvation. Will you come? This is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Won't you come? Say, play one more verse. You may be seated. Instruments continue to play.